In it were ones from the drugstore, department store, oil company, you know, et cetera, trying to find something humorous to say in this situation. The man quipped, "Isn't it a good thing that God doesn't send us bills?" That is good, isn't it? But what if he just decided to bill us for this wonderful body he's given us? The psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Amen. Who made us? Well, God made us, right? He never sent us a bill for that. Shakespeare said, "What a piece of work is man. Think about what God has made." The ears? A piano has 88 keys. But each of your ears has a keyboard with 1,500 keys in it. They are so finely tuned that you can hear the blood running through your vessels. The outside of your ear can catch up to 73,700 vibrations per second. The eyes are both microscopes and telescopes. They can gaze into the heavens and see a star a million miles away or inspect the smallest insect. The feet? Did you know that each foot has 26 bones, none of which is wider than your thumb, but it is so manufactured or arched with its ligaments, tendons, and muscles and joints that a 300-pound man can put all his weight on these tiny bones. The heart, its size is about like your fist, but it pumps or beats 4,320 times an hour. In a year, that would mean 40 million beats in a year. A drop of blood can make a round trip through your circulatory system in only 22 seconds. It's a pretty good pump, huh? It just keeps beating and beating. So what if God sent you a bill for this marvelous body we live in? But God doesn't send us bills. He just loves us and takes care of us. Can we do any less than to return his love? We show him our love by obedience to his word and by faithful stewardship of that which he has entrusted us. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we pray over these tithes and offerings and ask that you bless them and cause them to go forth and accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, the human body is just an absolute miraculous thing. You know, we weren't a piece of slime that crawled out of a swamp. There was no deal where it was nothing. There was nothing that existed. Nothing. There was nothing. There was no God. There was nothing. And somehow there was this mysterious explosion that came out of nowhere, right? And it just, boom! And now we got a universe. And now we've got Einsteins and, you know, Billy Grahams walking around. No way. Like somebody said, it would take more faith to believe in evolution than it does in God, right? It would be like a tornado hitting a junkyard. And when the tornado leaves, there's a 747 sitting there with all the electronics, all the metal that thing is made out of is alloys, right? You can't just dig it up out of the ground. It's all special alloys. I worked for Huachang for years and Armet for years. Titanium, zirconium, all these exotic metals. All the electronics, transistors, computers, the rubber tires. How about the bearings in that plane? You know what it takes to make perfectly round. You can't have a bearing that's not round, right? Can you imagine what it would take to make one? And that's the equivalent. That's what it would take. You know, is about the same, you know, as believing in evolution. That's what, you know, it's beyond the realm of possibility. Scientists and mathematicians said that anything beyond, I think it's like 14 to the 27th power, you know, something like that is beyond, it may not even be that much, but it's beyond the realm of possibility mathematically, okay? And evolution is like a zillion times past, already past that mark. It's beyond, it's a theory, the theory of evolution, and they teach it in our public schools. Amen? So, you know, don't buy it. God made it. Amen? He's the creator. It couldn't have happened. It's beyond the realm of possibility. It's equivalent to a tornado hitting a junkyard, and when it leaves, there's a 747 sitting there with the engines running, amen, and all the electronics and all the whatever. Amen? It just couldn't happen. It's beyond the realm of possibility. So, hallelujah. I got off on that little rabbit trail there, but that was pretty good, wasn't it? Huh? Uh-huh? That was pretty good, wasn't it? Huh? We need to build our faith and don't buy into it. I know the kids have to go to school, and I know that they teach that stuff, so I don't know what to tell them. Just give them the answers they want, I guess, but in your heart, you know the truth. Amen? You know that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? And there wasn't anything made that wasn't made without Jesus. Amen, and the Word. Amen? God spoke words and created it all. Yes?
Well, you're talking about actually does your science class. Your teacher is a Christian. Mm-hmm.
Good.
So she's not making them believe that.
I got you. But there are a lot of instances where, you know, if you happen to be a Christian in college or something and you don't go along with the program and raise your hand, you know, they're going to grind you into dust, you know, drag you through the hot coals. Well, today I'm going to talk about the Great Commission. Does anybody here know what the Great Commission is? Man, look at them hands pop up, man. Just boom, 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 boom. The Great Commission. It's one of your greatest assignments in life. It's for everybody. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And Father, we just pray that you help me communicate this message and give us ears to hear, Lord. Ears to hear. Give us revelation and insight, Holy Spirit. 28, verse 18. Now it says, Matthew 28:18. Now Jesus is speaking here. If you got a red letter Bible, it's red. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," okay, so he's saying, "I've all authority in heaven and earth. I have, Father God has given me all authority," right? All the power and authority to do anything and all creation that I want to do. So he says, therefore, so he's got the authority. So he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So he's saying, I have all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and witness, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and win the lost and bring them into God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
That's the Great Commission every single Christian has. There's none of us, you know, we're not supposed to be sitting in the back row, you know, twiddling our thumbs. Every single one of us is supposed to be sharing the gospel.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you're called to be an evangelist or a preacher or whatever, you know, go to the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. But in your life, there will be opportunities to share your faith with people. Amen? Somebody that only you can kind of get close to, because maybe nobody else can get inside their little bubble, their little circle. You know how it is with people? They won't let you in, you know. But they'll let certain people in, but, you know, most of the people they don't let in, you know. I used to be one of them people. I didn't let nobody in. Man, I had a big time bubble around me, and I kind of like a loner, you know, and I didn't let nobody. I would not open up and ever, you know, show true feelings or whatever with anybody. You just had this wall built around you because, well, you get hurt in life. Life can be rough, isn't it? You get hurt and things happen, and so you put that wall around you and that bubble so nobody can hurt you anymore. You know what I'm saying? But you may be the person that can get inside that person's wall or that bubble, and you can tell them there is something much more. Amen? And that's what this is all about, the Great Commission. So, you know, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. When somebody is dying or leaving us, we pay close attention to their last words. Okay? Not long ago, I went up to the hospital in Corvallis, and Chick was laying in that bed. And I mean, it was bad. It was bad. I never said it before, but he was fighting for every breath. I mean, it was just, you know. I mean, it was all the strength that he could do just to take his next breath. And I had no idea. This happened so fast. And I thought to myself, man, he is not going to make it. I don't see how he can even make it through the day. It's that will to fight for life, you know. We all have that in us, you know, that instinct to survive. God put it in us, you know. But I was determined I was going to pray with Chick, you know. So I just kind of leaned over and I got down real close to him, you know. And I prayed with him and we went over some things about his faith and what he believed. And I just wanted to make sure. Amen. Of course, Chick and Maggie both had come up here one Sunday years ago. And I prayed with them and to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right here. Chick and Maggie, they came up together. But I wanted to make sure, and that's what we did. We prayed about that. But, you know, and he had some few last words, and he couldn't hardly speak at all, really. But I would say something, and he would, you know, he would shake his head that he understood what I would say, you know. Of course, he died that evening, you know. But these words that Jesus spoke here, these were his last words on this earth while he was on this earth, his last words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. So, as I said, when someone is dying or leaving us, we pay close attention to their last words. Last words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew. Jesus left the disciples with these last words of instructions. Amen. So you understand, these are important words. It's the last words, you know, that Jesus spoke on this earth. It's just not idle talk or ho-hum stuff. It's serious stuff. Amen. His last words before he leaves. And he tells us, you know, every one of us are to take the gospel. Amen. And I know some of you do. You different ones have brought people to church and all that. But as a church, I was thinking about as a church, you know, as a whole throughout everywhere, people are not doing what Jesus said to do. They are not sharing their faith. They are not winning souls. I mean, just in our church, you could probably go in any church and you could say, anybody that's won, you could say just one person to the Lord this last year, in the whole year, have you won one person to God? How many people would really raise their hands? Right? I'm not going to ask it here because I know I've been through this before. How many people have actually, and I'm talking a whole year, you know, how many people have won somebody to the Lord, prayed with them, brought them to church or prayed with them to receive Jesus Christ? It don't have to be the pastor. It's just for everybody. Amen. How many, you know, so it's kind of embarrassing. We are not on fire for God. We're not like what Jesus expects us to be. We're trying, but and we don't realize how the world system and everything has just gotten so into our lives that everything is so important, more important than Jesus, more important than this great commission, more important than saving your neighbor from going to hell. Yeah, it's the truth. We just, you know, we're, you know, Jesus said in Revelations, which one was that? If you can't turn there to Revelations chapter 3. And verse 14. This is to the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 14, says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Okay? You understand? Jesus is not real happy with lukewarm churches. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, I wish you either hot or cold because you're lukewarm. I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth. You right? That's not a good thing, right? Do you want to be lukewarm? How many just were happy to just be lukewarm? No. Man, we got to, you know, it's like the world, the spirit of the world and all the junk just overwhelms you. And it just kind of pushes all the fire and the passion that you have for Jesus. It kind of pushes it back out of the way. And all you're thinking about is the next big toy you get to buy, you know, or going here and doing that, all this worldly stuff. Amen. You got to keep the fire in your heart, the passion for Jesus. There's an old saying, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Amen? We need to be true Christians and not hypocrites. That's a lot of what the world, if you look at the news and all this, they're always mocking Christians doing all this. There's too many hypocrites. There needs to be real Christians that live real Christian lives. Amen? And God comes first. That's just the bottom line. You know, you put God first and you trust him. He's not going to take your wife away from me or your family or your job or anything, you know. By putting him first, it only increases the blessing in your life. Amen? Amen. That's, if you read all the Bible, all the great men of God, the men of faith and all that, God prospered them. The ones that stepped out in faith and obeyed God, he prospered them. They became exceedingly rich and wealthy, really. He blessed them every time they turned around. There was a blessing, you know. And I can tell you for a fact, in my own life, the more I focused on God and just gave up stuff to follow God, I kept getting blessed more and more. I told her today, I don't know where we get all of our money at. I don't know how come we got. So we don't even buy Christmas presents for anything. For each other, we don't have any place to put anything. It's just coming out of our ears. We try to give stuff away. Honestly, you have more than you need or you even want. It says God just keeps blessing you. Where's it all coming from? How does he make this work? Well, that's what happens if you go all the way with God and you just press in. Amen. You know, and I'm not telling everybody to do it. When I was 45 years old, we just got rid of, you know, we just packed everything we had in the trucks and the U-Haul and we took off to serve God to, you know, follow God by faith. Amen. Was it scary? You doggone right it was scary. Huh? You think it's going to be easy to follow God and do what he says by faith? No. That's why it's by faith. You know, the faith thing, right? It's not easy because you're not in control. You know, you're not in control. It's like you're trusting God and you're out on the end of the limb. The limb is getting real little, man. And you think it's going to break any minute. But deal is, God's right there. He's, you know, you don't see him, but those big hands of God are right there, boy. Amen? You're not going down. When you trust God, he's there. He will make it happen, just like Brother Lynn. Amen? Thank God him and Alex were Christians, and they knew what to do. They prayed, and God sent someone to help them. Amen? God always does that. Amen? So, Jesus left the disciples with these last words of instructions. They were under his authority, and he had been given authority. So, you know, it's like you work in a big plant, and you go tell some employees, you know, stop doing this and go do this and this and this. And they go, well, who the heck you think you are? You know what I mean? What authority do you have to tell me to do that? Well, the owner, Mr. John Smith, gave me orders to come out here and tell you to do this and that. Oh, yes, sir, I'll do it. Amen. You obey then, don't you? Because you know what? Your rear end's going to go out that door if you don't do it, right? That foreman that comes out is going to tell you to do something because the boss over him told him to tell you to do that, right? The boss, the owner, the big boss, he ain't got to come around and tell everybody what to do. That's why they got foremen and lead men and all this stuff. Well, Jesus has the authority from Father God over everything. Amen? And he told his followers and his disciples to do this. He gave them the Great Commission. Amen? We should never forget that. We have a lot of things in life we have to do, and God knows that. He knows you got to, Bill and Sherry's got to get up and go to work. Amen? They've got a family. They're responsible. They provide for their children and keep their house and do all these things. And then they, you know, it's not easy bringing up kids. Just ask people that's got them. You know, I was there a long time ago. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we had children, and so we know we went through it. I'm glad we went through it real young when we were pretty strong, because we, you know, you get older. I don't know if I could take it, you know. But, and I wish I knew now, I wish I knew then what I know now. I would have been praying over my family, praying over my kids, laying hands on them, praying for peace and stuff in my house, and praying over my husband. Anybody see that movie, The War Room?
Yeah.
Yeah, huh? But does that get you, boy? Does that show you the power of prayer? Amen. Prayer, prayer, praying over your house, praying over your children. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, it makes a difference. And so what we're to do is, we're Christians, we're like little Jesuses running around on this earth, and we're supposed to make more little Jesuses running around on this earth, right? We are supposed to reproduce other Christians. In other words, we can't save them, but we can lead them to the one who does. Amen? Our job is to tell them about Jesus, tell them about what God has done for you, how much he loves you. And you know, as you do that, it's not just you and your intellect trying to communicate with these people. It's the Holy Spirit in you is going to give you the power to do it. He will make it come alive. Amen?
Amen.
Because on the day of Pentecost, he had told us, all his disciples, don't you leave Jerusalem, don't you go nowhere until you receive, amen, the Holy Spirit. He says, you shall receive power. Amen? Isn't that right? Isn't that what that says on that thing over there? You shall receive power. Power to do what? Power to witness and share. Amen? And fulfill the Great Commission along with, you know, the gifts and being able to lay hands and do lots of your prayer language and lots of things. Amen? So you can't just do it of your own abilities. It's the Holy Ghost in you. Amen? The power. And then you can go out and witness. Amen? And they were to baptize and teach these new disciples to obey Christ. And Jesus said, I will be with you always. You're not going to go out there. Jesus is not going to leave you hanging. Right? He's not going to leave you hanging on your own. He's going to be there with you when you go through the tough times, when you're scared and you're witnessing, or you got to go in a bad neighborhood, or, you know, can I get enough, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, enough, gumption, yeah, to go witness to this person. I'm so scared, and what if they spit in my face and tell me to go to, you know, where? Can I do it? Can I have enough? Huh? Yeah. Enough, you know, can I be courageous enough or have enough courage to do it? You know what I mean? Inner strength. Huh? Boldness. Yeah. You see, because that's what happens when the Holy Ghost comes on you. You get bold. Amen. You receive power and boldness, you know. And, you know, for 2 years in a row, every summer we would meet here and we would have a rally deal and study. Then we'd go out and witness. And I'll tell you what, it'll get you out of your comfort zone real quick. We would go to apartments. We'd pull up there, you know, we'd pray a little bit in the car. And we'd go knock, knock, knock on the door, you know. And you didn't know who was going to answer that door or how they were going to receive you. And then you just tell them who you are. You know, we're Christians. We're from Grace Bible Fellowship, and we'd just like to talk to you about the Lord or whatever, you know. I don't remember exactly what all we said. And, You know, it gets you out of your comfort zone. You know what I mean? And but you need to do that, because Jesus, he's right there with you. Amen?
Amen.
He's right there with you. None of us got mugged or anything. We did run into some interesting experiences, I'll say that. But you know, God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. He has all authority. That is, nothing is outside of his sovereign control. There is nothing. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, right? Did you ever hear me say that before, or read it in your Bible? That Satan is the god of this world, but he's not the god of the universe, folks. Amen? It's like he may be renting that apartment, but he don't own that building. You know what I'm saying? Satan has a limited amount of power, although he is powerful. He can do a lot of stuff. But we don't have to be afraid of him, because we're born again. We have the Spirit of God, Jesus, in us. Amen? The Holy Ghost. And not only that, God, Jesus gave us authority over the devil, right? I give you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Amen? In my name you will cast out devils. Amen? So we have authority over the devil. The major message here is that Jesus, the one raised from the dead, he showed he had power over death. Amen? Now, I want to go with that guy that's got power over death, right? Because that tells me that when I die, he can raise me from the dead, right? You know what I'm saying? If he had no power over death and he was crucified and died and was put in a grave or whatever and never rose again, you know, I mean, where's my future, right? But you see, Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. He has power over death. And that tells me he can raise me from the dead. I won't stay in a cold, dark, damp hole in the ground. He has power to raise me up, and he's promised to do that. He has promised that I'll be with him, that he's preparing a place for me in heaven, and I will be with him forever, right? And he will give me a new immortal body.
Amen.
Amen. In case you don't know it, ours is wearing out, in case you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm going to go with the Lord who has power over death. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. He can give me a new body. What greater thing could you ever hope for than immortality? I mean, to be immortal, to never, death cannot affect you. Nothing can harm you. You'll never be hungry, never be sick. You have immortality, that there will be no evil that could ever, there will be no evil there. Nothing like that. What more, what higher, bigger prize could you ever win, right? That's why we got to run the race, folks. We got to run the race in a way that we're going to cross that finish line. Amen? And everything is like this big test going on. Everything in this world just about is designed to test you, to try to cause you to fail, to keep you from crossing that finish line. Amen? You better know what's written in this Bible. You better know who you are, what your authority is, what belongs to you, and that the devil can't stop you. The only thing that he's good at is deceiving you and tricking you. That's the big deal. I mean, it's right first thing in the Garden of Eden, right? Didn't he lie and deceive Adam and Eve? That's what he did. That was a, you know. What about that tree there in the middle of the garden? Oh, yeah, that one there. God said that, you know, we can't eat or touch that fruit off that, or whatever it was, off that tree, or else we will die. And the devil, and the next line is, oh, did God really say, you know, that you will die? Oh, no, you won't die. You'll have wisdom like God. I mean, I can hear like a snake just hissing, you know. Oh, you know, what he is doing is immediately he's questioning the word of God. He's trying to put it in doubt. Oh, did he really say? Huh? But see, the trouble is Adam and Eve they didn't know what evil was. They didn't know what sin was. There was no such thing as sin. And doggone, Eve takes that thing, eats of it, and then gives it to her husband and says, good. So what's he do? He eats it. Disobeys the direct command of God not to touch that stuff. And from that, we've got all the crime, murder, disease, war that we have on this earth today, all from that one little thing. So when somebody says, oh yeah, I sinned, but it didn't hurt nobody else, don't believe it, man. When you sin and you do bad things, it does hurt other people. It hurts everything. Everything we do. So, you know, during Satan's temptation of Jesus, Satan had offered all the kingdoms of the world in splendor, you know, to Jesus. He takes up on a high place, says, look at all these cities and kingdoms. I'll give them all to you, you know, if you'll just bow down and worship me, you know. And Jesus resisted the tempter. And he obeyed God to the point of a horrible death and was raised again in victory to receive all authority on heaven and earth. Something Satan could never have given because it was never his in the first place. Okay? He has temporarily gotten control of the world system. Okay? Don't think, you know, you wonder why all this crazy stuff is happening. Is because God is not running the government. He's not running the United Nations, you know. It's not his world system. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world. It's pretty much, he's running this stuff. That's why it's like insanity. You go, how can they do this? You know, are they crazy? Yeah, because Satan is running the thing. God is not running it. But Satan can only, he can only do so much, you know. There are restrictions and restraints on him. Amen? Because if there weren't, if Satan and all the angels had all the power, they have great power. If they wanted to, if there were no restrictions, they could have killed everybody on earth that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They have that much power. They could just, poosh. You can't believe how much power these angels and spiritual things. One angel in the Bible, one angel killed 185 soldiers just in one day. One angel kills 185,000. Can you imagine the power what an angel's got, you know? So that's why God has certain restrictions and protections on the earth and on us. That you know, the angels can't just do anything they want, you know. But they can tempt us and try to lead people astray, try to get you to sin, you know. And really, before you're saved, you are a slave to sin. You don't know it. I didn't know it. You're a slave to sin. Man, you can't stop sinning because the sin nature's in you and that you just love it. I thought, man, I'm having a good old time. You know, only trouble was it was killing me. Yeah, it was killing me. And the reason Jesus came and died for you was to break the power of sin in your life so you're not a slave to sin anymore. You ever hear somebody say, man, I couldn't become a Christian. I couldn't live like that. You know, yeah, well, he was right. You can't. You can't do it. It takes being born again. It takes the power of, you know, the born again experience. You can't live as a Christian without being changed and born again. Because your sin nature would control you. You're in bondage to sin. You don't know it. The devil has got you. He had me. And he was pretty much controlling me. And there was no way I could have lived as a Christian. That's why when they say, I can't live like that, like them Christians. Well, it's a true statement. You can't. Because you're still in bondage to sin. What happens is when you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart, he breaks the power of sin over your life. Okay? It says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? All the old things are passed away. The new has come. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the devil and sin does not have you in bondage anymore. He can't make you do stuff. You're not a slave anymore to sin. That's the neat thing. That's the thing I noticed is all of a sudden, I didn't want to do all the stuff that I used to do. You know, and I used to do some bad stuff. I know. I look like an innocent little kid here, right? I used to do some bad stuff, you know. But now we all did, you know, some worse than others. Some of us would be shocked if we knew what the other person had done sometime in your life. Don't go tell nobody, okay, unless you feel led to the Lord. When I was started off, well, I did a lot of stuff, but when I was 14 years old, me and my buddy, when I was 14, he was 15, we stole my mom's car. We're going to run away. I ended up going through the windshield of that car at 100 miles an hour. Woke up in an old country jail in another state. Okay? I was not a goody-two-shoe kid. I was a dumb kid, man. I did dumb things. You know? I was lucky I wasn't dead. I woke up in a little hospital out in the country. It was a medical clinic, really. Laying on a table, I was unconscious, and all of a sudden I started waking up, and I remember I was just shaking, just like this, and this guy was sewing my head up, and I was covered with blood, just covered with blood. As soon as that guy put the last stitch in my head, this old country sheriff said, "Let's go, boy. There's no x-rays. There's no putting you in the hospital. Let's go, boy." Hauls me off to some little old country jail, and it's not cells, it's one big room. Then there was all these old guys in there, alcoholics and criminals and all that, and they're all sitting around this table playing cards, and me, I'm 14, you know, covered in blood, and my buddy, he's covered in blood, and we're just huddled over in the corner. We were so scared that they would kill us or do something, you know. So I know about being bad, you know, and I know about being dumb, man. If I knew now what I, you know, if I knew then what I know now, oh, what a different life I would have had. You know what I mean? And that's some of the minor things that I did. You know, but we don't want to brag on the devil and you know, what he's done in our lives. But I can tell you this. When I got born again, and I did, I pressed in and I sought God. I was a searcher. And the day I gave my life to the Lord was the best thing I ever did. It changed my life forever. Ever. I never look back. I've never regretted it. It's like, you know, it was just the most wonderful thing. And everybody in my family just thought I was totally nuts. Man, he's really gone off the deep end this time. Because of all the stuff I had done, you know. Boy, he'd really, I'd tell him, "Man, I got saved. I asked Jesus into my heart. I've got saved, man." And it was just absolute, total silence. Yeah, nobody would know what to say. That's okay. You know, that's okay. So there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than that. And then, you know, of course, you don't know anything when you first get saved. You don't know a doggone thing. You're dumb as a rock. All you know is you got saved. Something has happened to you, right? Yep. And then you just begin to grow and learn things. Amen. You've got to get into a good church, and you better get into a Bible study to help you. You don't want to just lay out there and wither away and die. Amen. You've got to be nurtured. You got to learn. You got to grow. Amen. So when you do what Jesus says and you take the message and you lead somebody to the Lord, you're also responsible for mentoring them, to teach them about God and the Bible. Amen. To bringing them to church. You don't leave them out there just to die on the vine. They've got to be nourished like a newborn infant. You know, moms don't have babies and then just walk away and leave the baby laying there, right? And forget about the baby. Right? The baby die, wouldn't it? And when you're a brand new Christian, the same thing can happen. You can just lose faith. You don't know what happened to you. You don't know anything. You've got to bring people into church, into Bible studies, mentor them, help them, be their friend. Amen. Pray with them. It's important. The Great Commission is a mandate from our Lord Jesus to make disciples of all nations and is to be taken with the utmost seriousness. Amen? It's not an option. He expects every one of us to care and love your fellow human being. Amen? There are people that are unlovable that, you know, I don't want to be around them or this or that. You know what? God loves them, and you've got the love of God in you. You know, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's not the human kind of love. It's the God kind of love. And you can love that person. You're the one that's going to show that person the love of God. Amen. Amen. And touch their hearts and bring them to the Lord. Amen. There's people out here in the world that they've just been, all their lives, they've just been kicked in the face, man. Abused and, you know, there's nothing really tender or good in their lives. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us are fortunate we had loving parents or different things and it took care of us and helped us. But there's a lot of people that are just, life has been harsh, man. It's been mean. They need some tenderness. They need some love and compassion. Amen? The love of God to come into their lives and touch them. Amen? And you are supposed to be that person to touch that individual. Amen? That love is the thing that can melt away the hardest heart. It reminds me of the story. I know I'm getting off here, but anybody ever heard of O. Smith Wigglesworth? O. Smith Wigglesworth. Brother Lynn probably has. But I remember this one story. I was reading his books. He was kind of like my hero when I was years ago when I first became a Christian. O. Wigglesworth. That guy was, he was so bold and audacious. Is that the word? But anyway, he was a plumber by trade. And he was a pretty rough guy. But he kind of backslid, you know. Him and his wife, Mary, lived in England, and they helped start up the Salvation Army, I believe it was, years ago. But anyway, he got to be, he was kind of backslid and kind of grumpy and this and that, wasn't going to church. And his wife said, you know, I'm going to go to church tonight. And he goes, no, you're not. And she says, well, yes, I am. And so he took her shoes and hid them so she couldn't have no shoes to wear to church. How many of you fellas have done that to your wives? Not in this day and age, huh? You have a wildcat on your hands. But see, Mary wasn't like that. She found some old rubber galoshes and she put them on and she went to church. And it was, you know, snowing and I don't know, it was in the middle of the winter, it was pitch black and it was just terrible, you know. She went anyway. When she comes back home, he had locked her out of the house. Yeah. Locked, he would not let her in the house. And she tried to get him, he would not let her in. So she went around the back of the house and she sat down on the porch with her back up against the door, and that's how she slept all night long, out there like that. And then in the morning, he opened the door for something and she kind of almost fell in, you know. And she was probably half frozen and everything else. And it said that she got up and she looked at him with like this incredible love in her face. And she says, what can I cook you for breakfast this morning, darling, or something to that effect. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely melted his heart. And he came back to the Lord because of that. Now, you would think she would start screaming and, right? Yelling and trying to claw his face off or something. You understand? You don't get nowhere like that. It's love. She looked at him with all this love of Jesus in her face and she says, what can I cook you for breakfast this morning, darling? That just kind of makes me want to cry even thinking about it. But that's what she did. See, love will break down the hardest hearts. That's how you do it. Amen? It's showing love, loving people, and showing the love of God to people. Amen? Doing good things for people. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So, love is so important. And as I said before, making disciples means instructing new believers on how to follow Jesus, to submit to Jesus' lordship, and to take up his mission of compassionate service. We have to see ourselves as Christians and ambassadors of Christ above everything else. Like I used to be a journeyman machinist, and I've done so many things in my life, it's unbelievable, different jobs, but the last 35 years I was a journeyman machinist. But I can't think of myself as a machinist first. I got to think of myself as a disciple of Jesus Christ, a believer, right? That's how you should see yourself above everything. I'm a Christian. I have a commission, man. I have a great commission from Jesus. Amen? See, the deal is when you call Jesus into your life, what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I'm not just going to live my life the way I want, to do the things I want, to please myself, but I'm going to live for you. You tell me what you want to do. I'll try my best to obey you all through life, and I'll just give up my life for you. I'll let you live through me, right? In exchange, Lord, you're giving me eternal life. You're going to give me immortality, a new immortal body, eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Don't you think that's a pretty good exchange? Let him use me for the 60, 70, 80 years that I'm going to be on this earth. And in exchange, he's going to give me back eternal life forever in paradise. I'd say that's a pretty good bargain. And it's not all that bad serving the Lord Jesus Christ, because good things happen in your life. Amen? Amen? Good things happen. It's a higher way of living. It's like that song we sang. How'd that go? On a higher, you know how, what the words were in that song? A higher level, higher plane. I'm going to live up higher because of the Lord, you know. It is. It's a higher way to live. Amen. Sin will shorten your life and make it a lot more miserable. I can put it that way. Okay. I had like a big hole in my life. I didn't know what it was. I knew I had all this. I had a wife and house and job and cars and goldfish and dogs and all that stuff. And, you know, everything everybody else had, I thought, well, you know, this ain't so bad. I'm pretty in my 20s and all this. But, man, there was something wrong. I wasn't happy inside. I knew something was wrong. I said, man, this whole thing don't make sense, you know. I said, I look around. I said, everybody's getting older. They're going to die, right? We're all going to die. We don't live that long. Well, why go through all the pain and suffering of life if there's nothing in the end? It's all for nothing. What is the point? What is the purpose of my life, right? And I just kept looking at every aspect of it. What's the point? What's the purpose of my life? Am I just on this earth to consume products, breathe air, take up space, right? See how much trouble and mischief I can get into? What is the point of my whole life, of my existence? There must be more. That's the conclusion. I'm talking over months. I kept thinking about this. There must be more. Our life does not make sense. If I'm just going to get old and die like a dog and not exist anymore, what is the point of my life? If, you know, I'm just an accident of life. I'm just here for a little while. And boom, I'm gone and don't exist anymore. What about all the people I love? I'll never see them again? What about all the different experiences in life? And I want to see my wife and my children, my aunt and uncle, you know. I mean, all those relations, there won't be any memories because you won't exist anymore, right? If that's all there is, when you die, it's boom, you don't exist. There's no memories. You don't exist, so there's no memories about your loved one, no memories about life or anything, right? You just don't exist anymore. To me, that doesn't make sense. There's got to be more. So it was scary, but I took that step, boy, and I yelled and I called out to God. I was mad. God, you know, I give up. You got me. I'll do anything you want. That's all I said. That's all I said. I was alone and I yelled real loud at God. I was mad. I was frustrated. I was upset about the whole thing. And boy, did God show up. Did he change my life?
Amen.
I mean... I didn't know what I did. I did not know about that scripture in the Bible. It says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't know that. But that's what I did. I called on God. It's kind of like I showed up at his door like a stray dog, and I wasn't going to leave. Right? And he opens the door, and there I am. You know what I'm saying? I just said, God, I give up. You got me. Here I am. I'll do anything you want. See, well, I guess that's why I'm doing this today, you know. I said, I'll do anything you want. And man, did that change my life. Woo!
Amen.
Like I said, people thought I was crazy. My wife thought I was crazy. We got married when we were 16 years old. Grew up together in school. I was 16, she was 16. We knew each other, man. We've been married for, up this time, 14 years. We grew up as kids together. We were married. We had children. We knew everything about each other. And then one day I show up at the door looking like Vic, but inside, you know, there's somebody else. You ever see those science fiction movies where the husband comes back home and he's, you know, the wife knows, that ain't my husband. He looks like him, but that ain't my husband, right? That's the way it was. I was a totally different person, and it freaked her out. But, you know, that's the way it is. You have to count the cost. Amen? And so I got a better wife now. Praise God. Amen? Glory to God. So I got a whole bunch more to go, but we're not going to. I think I got my point across. Amen? God saved us. Amen? We have a wonderful future, but don't forget about your neighbors. Amen? And the other ones. You don't want to just leave them here not knowing when you had the opportunity to tell them about the love of Jesus. Amen? The love of God. It's our duty and our command.
Amen.
from the Lord Jesus Christ and our great commission to share the gospel. Amen. All through life. Amen. And hopefully by next Christmas, somebody can say, you know what? I led somebody to the Lord. Amen. And I prayed with them and they're sitting right there. And I've been helping them and mentoring them and, you know, and I'll help you do it. Amen. So next time I hope everybody's hand goes up. Amen. Is there anybody needs prayer this morning? Okay. Jesus is still in the healing business. Amen. He's in there.
Yeah, I healed my elbow. The shot I got, my arm, after 3 months of all that pain I was having, my arm not be able to grab things or even hardly write. Well, you know what? It's healed. It's all good. The pain is gone.
Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. I'm always happy when somebody gets healed from something. Pain's not a good thing. I don't care for pain. I'm not big on pain. Amen. Father, we thank you today for this message, and we believe that you did touch hearts. And I do believe that, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word, Lord, and it did. The word today did begin to create faith in somebody, in people's hearts, or to increase the faith in their heart. Just the understanding of what Jesus has told us to do here. And I know that you're working in the hearts of people, Lord. You want to change them, and you're just waiting with your arms wide open for the day when they decide to make the big decision to follow you, invite you into their hearts, into their heart. And a great day that will be. Father, your word says that the angels will rejoice. Amen to that. And so, Father, we just pray that this message today will just be burned into our heart. And that we just pray, Holy Spirit, to remind us and even expand and open up even more, Lord, and teach us, Holy Spirit, about the love of God and our great commission. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.